It's Thursday, the 10th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Zach Levine and Quincy Pondexter. Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au, Tectonic 00, and Properbet. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you're watching this show live and you want to interact with the show, follow me on Twitter and tweet at me at redrock_bball. And if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Tectonic 00, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor of an episode. Is that straightforward? Of course, Moneyball.com.au has been with us all season. They are Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. If you live in Australia, if you live in New Zealand, make sure you're checking out Moneyball and playing some of the great DFS contests that they have up there every day of the NBA season, plus all the AFL stuff, Premier League, A-League soccer, they had NFL. There's lots of stuff, the cricket stuff. There's heaps of stuff over on Moneyball. And a new sponsor for today's podcast, Properbet, which is the product of a listener, a supporter of the show, Adam. Properbet is Properbet, basically what it does, it predicts player props using a personally designed in-house NBA player points model, and it helps you with your over-under bets. The guys at Properbet saying they've hit 65% of their bets this season, which is, look, I haven't gone back and looked at all of their bets, but over the last few that I've looked at, they've been pretty on the money with this. So I think that Adam has got something going there. The guys at Properbet, they're also excited to announce they're going to be launching into AFL this upcoming season using their personally designed model to predict AFL outcomes. Go across to the Properbet Facebook page, which was facebook.com/properbet. Like the page. You show Adam that all you other Red Rock supporters are going to support him in his little endeavor, and he might even give you a pretty decent chance of winning some money. Share the page as well. Get his likes up. It's a nice enterprise. I'm all for people, you know, making something of themselves and doing something they think they've got a talent in and getting it out there. And Adam's been a listener of this show, and he's doing something there. So I encourage all of you just to go across to facebook.com/properbet, liking the page and having a look at sort of the things that Adam and the boys over at Properbet are putting up. And best of luck to you, Adam. I think you're doing some great stuff. You're committed to it, and hopefully it all works out well. I'm sure it will. It's worked out very well for you so far this season. So congratulations to you guys, and yeah, everyone in the Red Rock community, go over and support Properbet and give the Facebook page a like. All right, what some weird stuff in the NBA. I can't say that every day, basically, can I? There's weird stuff going on in the NBA. There's always something odd. There's always something massive. There's always something monstrous. There's lots that goes down in the NBA. So enough of me waffling and talking shit. I'll probably talk more of it later on, though.
Let's get to it.
Thank you, Monsieur Bolton. We'll start, as we always do, with the Instagram and Facebook contests. On Instagram, we were looking at Jim Harden. How many combined points, rebounds, and assists would Jim have? The total was 46, and the correct answer was gotten by nobody. Unlucky. On Facebook, we're looking for Kev Durant. How many combined points, rebounds, and assists would KD get? A couple of people got that one spot on. The answer was 49. Ryan O'Neal and Joe Benjamin. Joe Benjamin, I feel like he's a repeat winner of the Facebook contest, so congrats to Joe and Ryan. On Thursday, on Instagram, which is redrock_bball, by the way, Pau Gasol, combined points and rebounds, and we're going all big men. For Facebook, we're looking at Alex Len, combined points, rebounds, and blocks. So go across to those respective pages on those social media sites and leave your answer, and you can get yourself a shout-out on the podcast. NBA, Wednesday, big game, big day, monstrous line of the night. It could not be anyone else, I wouldn't have thought. If you've got someone else that you would have preferred it to be, other than Russ Westbrook, let me know. I don't see how it could have been. He had 25 points. He had 11 rebounds. He had 20 assists. And for good measure, he had two steals and a block, went 9 of 15 from the field, and hit all 7 free throws. Westbrook has had, once again, a absolutely monstrous season. He's a top 5 player this year. He is averaging 24, 7.5, and 10.5. And he's given you 1.2 triples, 2.1 steals, And for all the talk of Russ being, oh, he's an inefficient guy, he's going to jack it up, he's shooting 46% from the field and 83% from the free throw line. His turnovers are an issue, but I'm pretty sure you know my take on turnovers. I don't care that he's getting 4 turnovers a game. It doesn't affect me in the slightest. The return of KD hasn't impacted Russ all that much, really at all, basically. Westbrook finished last season as the 4th overall ranked player. He's this season, he's the 4th. His Z-score for last year's overall value was 1.11. This year, he's at 1.10. These numbers are basically the same. He's averaging an extra 2 assists a game. And if anyone calls Westbrook a ball hog, he's averaging 10 assists a game. Now, I know that sometimes he might take ill-advised shots sometimes, but he's shooting at 46%. He's had 10 assists a game. I think we can drop that narrative of Westbrook selfish. I don't think many people still say it, but there are some dickheads around who still, you know, go on with that narrative. Because again, going back to my take on narratives, once a narrative's out there, it sticks and people don't look into it or think it can change or anything like that. And that's one of these things with Westbrook being a selfish player. In fact, he's averaging 10.5 assists for the season. Over the last 2 months, he's at 12 assists a game. And that's huge. They're big, big numbers from Russ. Big. He's been very good. Let's hope that he can, and KD and the rest of the team can stay healthy and get some interesting playoff series happening for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Much like yesterday's waiver wire line of the night, which was David West, and the implications for that moving forward were pretty minimal, I'm going to say that today's waiver wire line of the night is less impactful, if that's possible, because it goes to Sasha Vujacic, who, in keeping with Kurt Rambis's modus operandi of playing the old guys as much as possible, Vujacic played 33 minutes. He had 23 points, including 6 triples, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal on 7 of 8 shooting. So yes, he scored 23 points on 8 shots. He was 3 of 4 from the free throw line. He was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. He got the start with Aaron Aflalo out, and Lance Thomas was out as well. What are you going to do about it? Like, seriously. Sasha Vujacic is ranked 359th on the season. There is nothing to be done with Vujacic unless we see Aflalo being a long-term injury, which it doesn't appear like it's going to be that much of it. Maybe he misses one more game, but I don't think Vujacic is... He's not going to do this. Again, even if he starts and plays 33 minutes, he's not going to do this. We saw him at the start of the season starting and doing nothing. He's not going to score 23 on 8 shots again. This is just one of those ones where if for some reason you had Sasha Vujacic in your DFS lineup, then you're an alien for a start, and don't expect it to ever happen again. And that's exactly what happened here with the machine. The young gun of the night goes to Nerlens Noel of the Philadelphia 76ers. Supposedly he was going to be on a 25-minute limit. That didn't happen. He played 32 of them. He went 17-9 with 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. The 7 of 17 shooting is not ideal, but you love the combined 4 steals and blocks. And after a bit of a down patch, you know, I think a lot of that was injury related over the last couple of weeks, he's back in business with this big game, and he's had a, you know, somewhat disappointing season. But still, when you're ranked inside the top 50, it's hard to be all that down on him. And he was looking like he was going to be flying home inside the top 30 over the last 2 months. But said the injury has reduced his playing time, and that's hurt him as well. I've got no problem with them limiting Noel down the stretch and playing him, you know, instead of 30 minutes a night, playing him 27 or 26. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. That's fine. Don't push anything. If he's got a sore knee, you don't push it. You just, yeah, let him work. It doesn't mean anything for them this season. Just let him work through it, and he'll continue to put up stats. As we see today, there's no concern with me for him for the rest of the season in terms of value or being dropped or anything like that. A big, big night again from Nerlens Noel. And the biggest improvement for me with Noel this season has been his field goal percentage. He's up at 53%, just huge. And if he can keep himself over 50 and get the rebounds up to 9 a game and then give you 2 steals and 2 blocks, it's a fantasy stud for a very long time. The dud of the night. We're talking dud of the night history here. I don't think anyone's ever got the dud of the night 3 out of 4 nights. All 3 games that they've played in a row. Harry Barnes is just really struggling, really struggling. 29 minutes for Barnesy, 4 points, 6 rebounds and 3 assists, no threes, no steals, no blocks, 2 of 8 shooting, missed his only free throw. The best thing I can say about Harrison Barnes at the moment is that his ownership percentage has dropped by 1%. So he's at 71 instead of 72. He is ranked outside the top 200 for the last month, outside the top 280 over the last 2 weeks. There is zero reason why you should be owning Harrison Barnes in any standard league unless your league goes 18 teams at the moment. Maybe if it's 16 team, I'll say keep him. If you're in a 12-team league and you're owning Harrison Barnes and you're still competing in the playoffs, why? There is zero need to own him. Really interesting to see what he does in the offseason. He could be a real fantasy sleeper next year if he leaves the Warriors and goes to a different team and has a bigger role, but I'm just not convinced about his ability to actually put up big fantasy numbers. But he could be a surprise packet next year, definitely. In a keeper league, if your trade deadline's still open, this is as low as his value probably ever gets. I would throw, you know, some absolute crap at the end of my bench at him, see if I can get him, and then see if something interesting transpires in the offseason. See if he goes to a different team. Imagine he goes to the Lakers. Then he would be an interesting fantasy player. Now, I don't think he's ever going to be a top 50 guy, but he could be a more consistent top 100, top 75 sort of player, perhaps. So have a look, evaluate the situation, see what you can get for him, or see what you can use to get him, because this is as bad as it gets for him, and it's terrible. And he shouldn't be owned in standard leagues. Just reiterating that in case you didn't get it, the 55 times that I've said it over the last, you know, 2 weeks, month, 2 months, I don't even know how long I've been saying it for. It's been quite a while. It's felt like quite a while anyway. The perfect DFS lineup, Kemba 57.9 and Ross Westbrook 67.2, big name point guards. Paying up for point guards is often the way to go in DFS, and it was again here. Shooting guards, Vucic at 30.5. See, if you had Vucic in your lineup, please tell me why. Oh, you know what? No, that's not true, because once Aflalo was ruled out and Vucic was starting, you could punt on him in a tournament. You'd have zero idea he'd be able to do this, but he'd be worth a look. JJ Redick with 29.7. Vince Carter at 34.7. This is some sort of late season, late career revival for Vince, really taking advantage of the extra guys out in Memphis. And Luol Deng with 40.2, another guy who's really sort of revitalizing his career down this stretch in Miami. Power forwards, Anthony Davis, 63.1, and Tristan Thompson, 36. Dean Vasek had a nice tweet about Anthony Davis. I'm going to bring it up. What did he say? What did Dino have to say about Davis? No one has mentioned Anthony Davis being soft today after playing the game with a swollen eye. Spot on, Dean, because it's a narrative. And it's a great thing for people to say about Davis. He's soft. He's soft. And you know that it riles me up when I hear that term, because put you and Anthony Davis under the rim, you get your ass kicked pretty quickly. And yes, he's injury prone and it's a pain in the ass, but soft is not something that he is. Injury prone, I'll understand. And that's something that he can't control. But soft is not something I'll take. But he was big today with that busted up eye. So Anthony Davis, yes, a big night from him. Center, Dwight Howard, 48.1. If I recall correctly, yesterday on the podcast, I was saying, oh, I'm really tempted to put Dwight as my recommended high money center. Just wasn't quite confident enough to do it. I should have done it. He ended up with a pretty big night, and that total would have given you 407.4 points. Yes, it would have. Pretty decent stuff. Now, let's get into these box scores. Before we do that, I'm going to take a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors. All right, guys, we are back. If you're watching along on video, you can see the box scores up on your screen, just getting that all set up for you beautifully there. There you are. Can't complain about that service. The first game of the night was the Houston Rockets and the Philadelphia 76ers. Pat Beverley is just playing really well at the moment. 32 minutes, 16, 4 and 5, 4 triples and 3 steals. He's only owned in 51% of leagues. Feels quite low. He's not going to be this high scoring guy all that often, but he's doing it more often than previous. He's a top 75 guy over the last month, and he's not a high rebound guy, but when you're getting, you know, 1.5 threes and 2 steals, you know, almost five rebounds, these are big numbers. He doesn't fit everybody, but he probably should be. It doesn't have to be your team, but he probably should be owned in most leagues. Dwight went 21 and 18. He had a steal and 2 blocks. 9 of 12 from the field, 3 of 9 from the free throw line. Who cares? big numbers from Dwight, and he's been, again, a guy who's criticized a lot, and I do not like Dwight Howard as a person. He is just a grating personality. I mean, not a great personality. He's a grating personality. But from a slow start, he has been very, very impressive from a fantasy point of view. And he's had, you know, shown glimpses of being not the old Dwight, but at least 75% of the old Dwight. And it goes unnoticed because of how much just of a knob that he is. But his play has been great. Trevor Ariza, 15 points. He hit 4 triples, had 2 steals and a block. A decent night, but the 4 of 14 shooting is far from ideal. But still pretty good numbers there from Trev. Mike Beasley played 9 minutes. He had 8 points, 2 steals and a block. He is going to be a 16-team league guy. He is going to be someone worth monitoring in that sort of depth. You probably don't want to look at him in anything deeper, but he will be interesting. No Terrence Jones again. No Josh Smith again. Donatas Motiejunas picked up, you know, quick for fouls. He had 3 fouls in 7 minutes. Didn't do anything. And they went with Montrezl Harrell, who played 7 minutes. Yeah, Beasley got 9 minutes. Clint Capela got 10 minutes. They went quite small as well. KJ McDaniels, in a revenge game, had 12 points with 3 rebounds. I don't imagine the Rockets are going to go this small all that often. But Motiejunas, he's never been someone to add in a 12er, but he's a guy to watch. Not a good outing here. Beasley's someone who I am watching pretty closely. Jason Terry played 28 minutes. He had 10 points with 3 assists, 3 triples, and 2 steals. A big night from Terry, but not something we can count on all that often, if at all. For the Sixers, Bob Cove, 35 minutes, 17, 7, and 4, 3 triples, 4 steals, and a block. The Rockets bump, he took full advantage of that. He's also a good player outside of playing against the Rockets, so a nice night from Bob Cove. This was without Jelly Locafor as well. Ish Smith, 21, 2, and 5 with 2 triples, and a 9 of 18 shooting night. Again, when you get a 50% from the field night from Ish Smith, you have to absolutely treasure it. Hollis Thompson went 10 and 7 with 2 triples in his 34 minutes. Isaiah Cannon hit 4 triples in 24 minutes. And Cannon is a guy who is not a 12-team league guy as such. But at the rate that he hits threes, you should always have him on your stream radar. He's at 2.7 threes a game over the past 2 weeks. For the season, he's at 2.2 triples a game. Now, he does nothing. 0.7 threes, only 10 points a game. 36% from the field, but he's a solid free throw shooter, and those threes are delightful. You're looking for the end of the week, Isaiah Cannon's playing, you're getting 2 triples, and that's basically what it is. You don't get much else, but he will give you 2 triples. You play him, the Sixers have got to say a back-to-back or a Friday-Sunday split or whatever, you're getting 4 or 5 triples out of him, and that can be really useful. So he has to be included. And these guys who are, you know, one category players, They're definitely guys to consider in streaming options. They're in your streaming pool. You might look at him and go, he's playing 19 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game. What's he going to do? But if he can give you a big elite positive contribution in one category, they fall into a streaming pile. Jeremy Grant played 37 minutes. He filled up the stat sheet, had a 1-1, had 13 points as well with Jahlil Okafor out. He is worth owning as long as Okafor remains out of the lineup. Not a lot else from the Sixers, unfortunately. The next game, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Boston Celtics. Okay, so no Zach Randolph again in this one. Mike Conley was still out. And then we had Mario Chalmers, who is in a fair bit of trouble, I would say. He went off with a non-contact injury to his leg, foot. He is going to be MRI'd Thursday. There is people saying that they heard Chalmers say, I heard it pop. His Achilles is in massive danger. This is... Now, Chalmers had to be a must-own player. This is dreadful for him. The Grizzlies have no point guards. Conley is going to have to come back and play minutes, or else who's going to be their point guard? It's going to have to be Lance Stephenson. It has to be. Who else? There's no one else. Tony Allen, PJ Hairston. Tony Allen can't dribble. He can't shoot. He can't pass. It's going to have to be Lance. And that's going to be interesting. Do you drop Chalmers? I would say there's a 90% chance that he is done for the year, based on what I've seen and heard. So you might have to. But is there an immediate add? Now, Tony Allen's had 2 big games since returning. 27 minutes here, 12, 5, and 2 with 2 steals. I don't believe in Tony Allen as being a must-own guy. I've got to go and sacrifice everything to grab Tony Allen. Yes, he'll give you steals, he can be a pretty nice rebounder, and he can have value, but it's only on a certain type of team. he will be interesting. What do you do with Vince Carter, who went 17-6-3 with 3 steals, 4 triples and a block? I don't put much faith in it, that's for sure. Not a guy of his age who's been as limited as he's been over the last couple of seasons. But someone's going to have to play minutes. Lance struggled. He played 21 minutes here. He was 1 of 8 for 2 points, 2 rebounds and 3 assists. Do you go and add Lance in a 12-team league? You might. You might add him because he's going to have to handle the ball until Conley comes back. But it's not going to be a long-term thing because Conley's injury isn't a long-term thing. So you might get one game out of Lance as a starting point guard, but then he goes back up to being the backup two, but then he's got to battle PJ Hairston and Tony Allen's going to get the majority of the minutes there. Now, Allen probably will end up playing 30, 32 minutes at the two now with Chalmers out, but it's not necessarily going to translate into great numbers. So overall, I don't know if there's someone who's a must-add guy. Matt Barnes returned from his hamstring injury, 12-2-4, 2 triples, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Putrid 4 of 16 shooting, but I think the Barnes is a 12-team league guy for most people. What about Jermichael Green? Really killing it without Zach Randolph. 37 minutes, 17-13 with 2 blocks on 6 of 12 shooting. Do you add him? Randolph's going to miss some more time, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if it'll be in the next game, but I think he'll miss a couple more games before the end of the season, even if he returns to play. His numbers have been pretty impressive the last 4 games, 14-8. A steal, a block, 54%. The thing that's most consistent, though, is his shooting percentage. That's where it's going to stay for him. Now, he's a 50% guy. He's a 50-plus percent guy. But over the last couple of weeks, he's seen his block rate and his steal rate rise pretty dramatically. His steals are maybe a little bit more sustainable. His assist rate has also gone through the roof. So, do you add Jermichael Green? Yeah, sure, short term, but he's going to be real quick to be dropped. Jarrell Martin played 23 minutes and went 16-6 with a block. I like Jarrell Martin as well. Not sure there's much to do with him and not sure. You know, actually, you know what? In a dynasty league, I think that Jarrell Martin has some real, real long-term value. I think that he can be a very interesting player once Zebo goes. He's a real deep dynasty type guy to me. PJ Hairston had 2 points in his 25 minutes and Ryan Hollins went 7-6. In his 25 minutes. They are going to need Conley back ASAP for this team because I am pretty sure. I know that Mario Chalmers is pretty sure. Let's try it again. I know that Mario Chalmers is pretty sore. I am pretty sure that he is done for the year. Nothing positive is coming out about it. The Celtics, big win for them. And it was that big that the minutes were just spread all over the place. So don't look too much at this box score and go, oh, Jesus, like, what are you doing? Because it was just out of hand. Jonas Jerebko played 23 minutes. He went 11-5 with 3 triples. Evan Turner went 16-4-8. And he's a guy that should be owned, Turner. Jay Crowder only played 22, but went 15-2-1 with 2 steals and 3 triples. Jared Sullinger went 12-5 with 3 steals. Sullinger did have an issue with his foot. Hopefully he is okay, but he did have to leave the court with that foot problem. Kelly Olynyk didn't return. We wish that he did, but no, he's not back yet. Amir Johnson, even in a game where everyone's contributing, he's not. 3 points in 18 minutes for Amir. There is no 12-team spot for him. Isaiah Thomas went 22-3-5. Avery Bradley went 15-2-3. 9-7 for Tyler Zeller. It was just a bloodbath from the Celtics' point of view. And Jordan Mickey, RJ Hunter, Terry Rozier, and James Young all played 2 minutes. And that's what you call emptying the bench. Nothing to really read too much into from the Celtics' point of view. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Charlotte Hornets. Elvin Gentry, how's your experiment? I know the video's not at me, but I'm doing the Dr. Evil air quotes here. Experiment. How's your experiment of Drew Holiday as a starter going? Have you seen enough? Do you think that maybe that, you know, we'll put Drew as a starter, yeah, because we want to do experimental lineups for the future. How's it working for you? Do you think he's maybe good enough to be a starter, Elvin? Dickhead. 38 minutes for Drew. 38-4-6, 5 triples with 13 of 23 shooting and 7 of 7 from the free throw line. I just hope that Drew can keep himself healthy and this leg issue is a thing of the past. I'm not convinced that it is, but let's hope it is. Now, I've had a lot to say about the Bulls medical staff recently. The Pelicans medical staff is right up there as well, if not worse than the Bulls. So my faith in them is pretty minimal. They were without Norris Cole in this one. He was dealing with that back problem that kept him out of the, well, not kept him out, that limited him. And had a TN on Twitter. Tweet me today at Herobay11. He says, could you please talk about your opinion on Norris Cole and Duncan on the show today? I don't really know what you mean. I'm pretty sure everyone knows my opinion on Norris Cole. I don't think this is a long-term thing for Cole. So if you're worried about, yeah, he missed a game because of his back, I'm still just going to hold on to him. I don't love him, but I'm still holding on to him. With Cole out, Tone Douglas played 37 minutes. He went 16 points, 4 assists, 3 triples, and a block. Big night from Douglas, because there's literally no one else to play here. Put your hand up if you've heard of Orlando Johnson. He started and played 21 minutes. He had 5 points and 3 rebounds. So, of course, Tony Douglas is going to have to play minutes. Now, if Cole, they say he's going to miss 2 or 3 more games, then Douglas is an interesting stream guy. He can give you assists, he can hit some threes, but aside from that, not much. Omer Asik played 6 minutes. He is dreadful. Kendrick Perkins played 14 and had 7 boards. Dante Cunningham had 31 minutes for 5 points. And Ryan Anderson is just, he is just horrific at the moment. 29 minutes for 3 points on 0 of 8 shooting. 6 rebounds for Anderson. I haven't owned Ryan Anderson about 4 seasons. I think the only time I've owned Ryan Anderson was that breakout season he had in Orlando. But he has been dreadful. He is a top 150 guy just in the last month. His numbers have dropped significantly recently. He cannot hit a shot. He's under 40% over that last month. Yeah, he's a high free throw guy on low volume. He hits threes, but not a huge amount in the last month. Only 1.5 when he's at 2 for the season. He doesn't do it for me. Is he droppable? Probably not. But, you know, you're in the playoffs. It might get to that. Because if this form continues, there's no value in holding Ryan Anderson. The Hornets. Kemba went 35-7-7 with 2 steals and 5 triples. A big shout out to Kemba Walker and Drew Holiday, who I own both of them in the Red Rock Real Salary Cap League. We're in the first week of our playoffs. I'm going up against Mark Roberts. And I got both Kemba and Drew, and they kindly let each other go for ridiculous lines. They combined for 73 points, 10 triples, 11 rebounds, 13 assists, and 2 steals on ridiculous efficiency. So thank you, Kemba and Drew, for that little arrangement there. Kemba was 9 of 18 from the field. He was 12 of 16 from the free throw line. Big night from him. Don't look now, but Courtney Lee had a big game. 16 points with 4 triples and 6 rebounds in 29 minutes. Great, but I'm just not buying into it. I think this is the first time he's reached double-digit scoring since he's been a member of the Hornets. The minutes are going to be there, and he will have an occasional game like this, but I just don't trust it enough to hold on. Nick Batum, 15-6-5 in his 41 minutes. And Marv Williams, 14-5-4 with 2 triples in 30 minutes. So some pretty decent numbers there for him. Al Jefferson, I talked about him yesterday. Don't read too much into it. Cody Zeller was limited by foul trouble, and that allowed Big Al to play some big minutes and play well. He played 18 minutes here, Jefferson. 5 points, 3 rebounds, and a block. He's not someone that I'm keen on at all, which you should know. 30 minutes for Cody Zeller, 13-8 with a block. He's not someone I'm keen on either, but that's a big night from Zeller, and I do really believe in Cody Zeller. Jeremy Lin, Jeremy Lamb, not much to see with those guys. And Frank Kaminsky had a really full line, actually. 10-5-1 with 2 triples, 2 steals, and 1 block. The Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. Hassan Whiteside, just big again. 23-13 with 3 blocks. Hit all 5 of his free throws. This is not a fluke anymore. He has worked it out. He has cracked the code for shooting free throws. Luol Deng, 20-11 with 2 triples, 2 steals, and a block. And my boy, can I officially call Josh Richardson my boy? I think I can. I can't say this for sure, but I am almost guarantee you that I have talked about Josh Richardson on this show more than any other podcast this whole entire season. If I'm wrong, let me know, but there is almost zero way that anyone has spoken about Josh Richardson as much as I have on this show. He had 14-2-2 with 3 triples, 2 steals, and a block. You know what my thoughts are on him. I really like him. I think he's going to be a very, very good NBA player, and I think he is going to have a role in the future, and I like his dynasty potential. What if Dwayne Wade leaves in free agency? All aboard the J-Rich train. Wade had 18-3-6 with 2 steals in 34 minutes. Amari played 18 minutes as a starter, blocked another 3 shots with 6 points. He's getting some weird shot-blocking nights, Stoudemire. Joey Johnson went 11-2-4 in his 34 minutes, and Goran Dragic, probably his first stinker since the Bosch injury, 10-3-6, but the 6 assists sort of salvages it a little bit. Justice Winslow has regressed significantly since Joe Johnson arrived, 6-4-2, still doing what he does defensively, but his minutes are down and his statistical output is definitely not there. Josh McRoberts, Gerald Green out of the rotation again. This is going to be the norm for this team. The Bucks, a big victory, and it comes from their, is this a big three? It's a big baby three, maybe. Chris Middleton, 40 minutes, 22-7-8. Giannis Adetokounmpo, 24-7-6 with two steals. And Jabari Parker, 23-3 with two steals. All three of those players shot at least 53% from the field. They all scored 20 points. They are the future of this team, and it looks great. Now, Greg Monro moved back into the starting lineup here after a big discussion I had yesterday's podcast. He played 23 minutes only. And then Miles Plumlee played 24 and probably outplayed Monro, to be fair. 18-4 for Plumlee, and Monro went 10-8-4. We're not at the stage where we're dropping Monro for Plumlee, and we're not really at the stage where we're adding Plumlee in 12-team leagues either. But Monro, that's a disappointing night. Jared Bayless played 40 minutes and did nothing. 6-2-3 with a triple. I would still be keen on holding him. OJ Mayo sat this one out with an illness, and Tyler Ennis got 26 minutes and went 8 points with 5 assists. Tyler Ennis is not a bad sneaky dynasty guy. I don't know how good he can actually be, but I think that he can be in your 300 deep league. I think that Tyler Ennis, at some point in the next few years, might be interesting. It's a very much a long shot, but I don't hate him. The Pistons and the Mavericks. Big game for the Pistons. Big victory. Andre Drummond got hacked. He got hacked a lot, but he stayed in the game. He went 5 of 14 from the free throw line, but ended with 34 minutes, had 25 and 17 with a steal and a block on 10 of 19 shooting. That's a very good night from Drummond in that sort of situation. Toby Harris, 19, 7 and 5 with two triples and a steal. He has been unleashed to a degree since arriving from Orlando, which I do enjoy. I'm a big Toby Harris fan, as you know. And Marcus Morris, one of his better games recently, 20 and 7, two assists, a steal, two triples. Really just a back-end guy, though. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, a nice game. That's two in a row for KCP, 14-5 and 3 with three steals. He does have games in stretches, so I'd look for him to have a pretty decent game in the next one. Reg Jackson struggled, 11-4-4 in his 29 minutes. And Reggie Bullock continues to get big run off the bench. 26 minutes for Bullock. Now, not a great night, 5 points, but did have 8 rebounds. Deeper leagues, Reggie Bullock is a guy you should be using at this point. The Mavs, Dirk, that's a huge game from Dirk. 25-10 with two triples, three assists, and a steal. Just super efficient. And Chandler Parsons went 25-4-6 as well. So big games from those guys. Zaza Pachulia, out of the blue, back to 35 minutes. 10-13 with an assist. He is not a must-own player to me, though. That's fine, but they are going to continue to limit him. Remember when we talked David Lee a few days ago? He played 13 minutes and had 4-4 with a steal and a block. This is David Lee, and this is what is going to happen. This is why I wasn't falling over myself to make sure I went and grabbed him and dropped someone of value for him, because he's just, those numbers were just so unbelievable that they weren't going to continue. Wes Matthews, 10 points, nothing else, and Daron Williams went 8-5-9. I don't know why I call him Daron like that. 8-5-9 for Williams in 37 minutes. So not a good night for Williams, especially the 3 of 13 shooting, but 9 assists sort of makes up for it just a little bit. The next game, the New York Knicks and the Phoenix Suns. My favorite coach, Kurt Rambis, back at it again. Mallow didn't play 50 minutes though, so that's good. The Knicks got a very easy victory. Mallow only played 31. He went 23-7 with three triples, a steal, and a block, and that's some pretty nice numbers. He played 22 and went 13-5. 2 of 10 from the field, which is not good. 8 of 9 from the free throw line. I'm not, you know, when I talk about my dislike of Rambis, I'm not as concerned with what happened with Porzingis at the moment. It doesn't feel great for a new coach to come in, and as soon as he comes in, we're just taking 8 minutes off this guy's playing time and not playing him. Now, they're not playing for anything, so they don't need to be, much like I said with Philadelphia and Nerlens Noel, they don't need to be playing him 30-plus minutes. I would like him to play 26 or 27 at least, and just stay out there and keep his rhythm up and try and push through it, and I don't think 20 minutes is the right amount for him. But my issue with Rambis more is playing Mallow 40 minutes and potentially putting him at risk of a serious career-threatening type injury. And not threatening as if he's never going to play again, but threatening as if this is it for him at this level of play. That's my main concern. And playing Jose Calderon 40 minutes and not giving Jerry and Grant run and stuff like that, that's my concern. Porzingis, I'm fine with sort of limiting him and getting him to play out the season, but not maybe not to the degree that he has been. Speaking of Calderon, he did play 34 minutes. He went 10, 2, and 12 with two steals and two triples. To say he's been unreliable has been an understatement. He's not someone that I'm looking at in 12-team leagues, but in 14-team leagues, sure. Jerian Grant got some pretty good run too. 28 minutes, 14, 3, and 4 with two steals. And I'll say this now, if Jerian Grant becomes a starter and plays 30 minutes, you have to own him. He's going to be a 12-team must-own player. Absolutely. And if you see things trending in that direction, and this game might be the start of a trend, if I see him play 25 minutes in the next one, Jerian Grant, I am looking at him in a 12-team league and going, hang on, what's happening here? But I'm definitely keeping an eye open. He'll probably go back to 16 minutes and all this will mean nothing. But if I see him get 25 plus again, I am getting extremely interested in Jerian Grant. 24 for Langston Galloway, 8, 6, and 4 with two triples and two blocks. And unfortunately, Kylo Quinn didn't get a huge amount of time. 11 minutes for Cock, 4, 4, and 4 with a steal in that playing time. Robin Williams bounced back after the dud of the night yesterday and had 13 and 8 and blocked 5 shots. Got jealous of Brooke getting all the block love and the block title puns. He had 5 of his own, so a good night from Robin Lopez. The Phoenix Suns, Brandon Knight was back, but he wasn't. He was sort of back. He dressed and he sat on the bench, but he didn't enter the game at all. He is going to return very soon, and just obviously if he is on your waiver wire, you got to own him. Ron Price played 34 minutes, probably the last time he does that all season. 11 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, and 3 triples. The ride was fun while it lasted, Ron. Don't imagine that much is going to happen with him moving forward. Devin Booker played 39 minutes, had 32 points on 14 of 28 shootings. That's a huge field goal bump, and 3 triples as well. Not much else in the other stats. Brandon Knight returning will probably take some of his shots away. It'll definitely take some of his ball handling away, but I think it might help to improve his efficiency some. Alex Len, you might look at it and go, is this the fiddling around again from Earl Watson? No, 28 minutes for Len was early foul trouble, very early foul trouble. Still double-doubled, got you 14 and 10 with 2 assists, and I'd imagine Len goes back to his 34 minutes in the next game. PJ Tucker at 30 minutes, 4 points and 3 rebounds. There is zero reason to own PJ Tucker in a 12-team league, and Mirza Teletovic, his 12-team usefulness feels like it's expired. 11 and 4 with 2 triples in 30 minutes. Chase Budinger recently signed, played 8 minutes, had 2 points. He's going to be a very, very deep league sort of guy there. And Archie Goodwin down to 13 minutes. He was a nice little run of games back in January and February, but that is clearly run its course. The Los Angeles Clippers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Thunder with the big victory in this one. I talked about it yesterday. Jeff Green was due for a big game after stinker. This was good game, and it was pretty good. 23 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block, 3 triples. He can be owned in 12-team leagues, but just don't expect consistency. Chris Paul went 12, 3, and 16 with 5 steals, so a big night from CP3. And JJ Redick knocked in 5 triples for 22 points and also added 2 steals as well, so a nice night from Redick. DeAndre Jordan, not his best night, but 18 and 7 with 100% from the field on 7 shots and a block is pretty decent. And the Wes Johnson, Paul Pierce, Austin Rivers group not doing much. Johnson had 2 points. Paul Pierce went scoreless. Austin Rivers scored 5. And Cole Aldrich, just another one. 15 minutes, 10 and 6. 5 of 5 shooting from the field. He is a fantasy beast if he was able to get the minutes. Now, I just don't feel like he's really ever going to be able to get the minutes as a full-time starter anywhere. But if Jordan was to go down, we would love what he'd able to do. But he's a fantasy-friendly player. The Thunder, KD, 30, 12, and 7, 5 triples and a steal. Big night from him. And Enes Kanter chimed in with his big performance in limited minutes, 14 and 7 with 2 steals in 17 minutes, going 7 of 10 from the field. 74% ownership for Kanter, still too high. Andre Robertson chimed in 13 points, and that'll take him about 6 games to get to that total again. And Serge Ibaka had 15 and 4. Not Serge's greatest night. Steve Adams 9 and 9, and Randy Foy still playing big minutes and still doing nothing. Also, I give Dion Waiters a lot of shit on this show, but obviously our sympathies go out to him and his family with the tragedy with his brother. So Dion, hope everything is okay. And yeah, he hasn't been good this season, but yeah, family and tragedy obviously trumps basketball. So Waiters was out in this one, and that. Yeah, Foy got some of those minutes, and Kyle Singler played some of those as well. The second last game of the night, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Sacramento Kings. Tim Mozgov was out with an illness. Tristan Thompson then started, played 37 minutes, went 18 and 15 with a steal. If he's going to play 35 plus minutes, Thompson, then he does have fantasy value. But the likelihood of him being able to play that amount of minutes with Mozgov healthy is pretty low. Kevin Love went 17 and 10. He had two steals and two triples. That's a pretty decent night. The shooting was not good, but that's a nice production. And Kyrie, another 30 points, four assists and three triples, while LeBron went 25, 11 and 6. So big numbers from the big three there. J.R. Smith, I'm still waiting for a big game from him. This is not too bad. 15 and 5 with three triples. But a big game for him feels like it has to come soon. And Iman Shumpert went 4 and 5 in his 19 minutes. For the Kings, Rudy Gay, 19 and 6. Three assists, three steals and two triples. While Darren Collison bounced back after a down game. 15, 5 and 8. Two steals, one block, two triples. I'm not going to use the Gary Harris example because we know that's stupid. But Darren Collison's owned in 65% of leagues, less than Enes Kanter and Harry Barnes. Something is very rotten. It needs to be fixed. Boogie Cousins, 29 and 11 with two steals, and he is just murdering your percentages. 8 of 22, 12 of 18 from the free throw line. Just killing both percentage categories, which is not something that we really anticipated him doing this year. He's at 45% from the field on 21 attempts. He's at 72% from the line on 10 or 10.5 attempts. Now you might go, yeah, 45 and 72 is not terrible, Josh. What are you talking about? But on 21 and 11 attempts, they're big volumes. And they're not impossible to recover from. But you've got to take it into consideration. It's clearly not a positive. Otherwise, his numbers are awesome. He's averaging 27 and 11.5 this year. And a triple one and 3.5 assists. It's the percentages which are keeping him out of the top 10 overall for the season. Everything else has been fantastic for Boogie. Quincy Acey started, played 21 minutes. 8 and 4 for Acey with a block. He is a deep league target, definitely. He's a 16-team league guy. Rajon Rondo, not his best night, 11, 3, and 6. And Willie Cauley-Stein played 12 minutes for your weekly Willie Cauley-Stein update. 4 points in his 12 minutes. Well, Caron Butler, he is alive. He is actually alive. He's going to be, Mark Wahlberg is going to produce a movie about his life. And he played a game for the first time. I don't even know when he played last. 7 points in 11 minutes for Caron with 2 rebounds. That was because Ben McLemore, Marco Bellinelli, and Seth Curry were all out, so it was all hands on deck in the wing department for the Sacramento Kings. The last game of the night, Trey Burke goes from 2 DNP CDs for the Utah Jazz against the Warriors to score 18 points in 22 minutes with 2 steals. It is very fluky to get performance or production out of him, so don't get too excited there. Shelvin Mack still played the most minutes, 28 of them. He had 7 points, but 8 assists, 2 steals, and 4 rebounds. Sure, fine to own. Not for long, though. Derek Favors, 11 and 4 with a couple of blocks, and Gordy Hayward went 16, 6 and 2 with 2 triples. Rudy Gobert, the disappointment continues. 9 points, 15 rebounds, no blocks, 5 of 9 from the line. Do you own him? Are you pissed that you own him? I own him in one league, but it's a punt free throw, punt point situation, so I'm okay with it. But he has not been the guy that you wanted to spend your second round draft choice on. Not much else for the Jazz. Rod Hood was out of this one with a back issue, so Chris Johnson got the start. He went 5 and 3 in 20 minutes, but there's nothing really actionable fantasy-wise. For the Warriors, Draymond Green had one of his best games in a while. 17, 7 and 5, 2 threes, 2 steals and 3 blocks. That's a big, big night for Draymond, and he had been quite disappointing recently. Klay Thompson had 23 with 5 triples, and Steph Curry went 12 points, but 3 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals and 3 triples, including one ridiculous half-court shot on the buzzer. Andy Bogut only played the 14 minutes in this one, and that is always the risk with him, but still not bad. 6 and 4, 2 assists and 3 blocks, still getting it done, while Maurice Spates chucked up 16 points with 5 rebounds and 4 assists in his 15 minutes. But you are real deep if you're owning Maurice Spates. There's no real consistent value from him. Andre Iguodala returned. He played 22 minutes, and his fantasy value is limited to the deeper leagues as well. I think we're done from the games. I'm going to take a quick break as my throat is as dry as. I'm going to be back in a couple of minutes to preview Thursday's action. We are back. There's four games on Thursday, and to be honest, the Thursday slate for DFS is not looking all that awesome. And if there was a day that you were going to say, I'm just going to have the day off from DFS, this might be the one, because it's just, I don't know, it doesn't feel great. But that's also the time that plenty of people win big, so don't be completely dissuaded by my lack of confidence in the value that's happening. But there's definitely not many great cash game plays around, I'll say it that way. Atlanta and Toronto. Point guards. Kyle Lowry is at 8,900. It's expensive, but you know that Lowry has been putting up big numbers. The Hawks have been really good defensively, like fantastic. Point guard wise, they've tightened up there as well. At 8,900, can he get 45 points? It's not a great matchup for him, but there's such a dearth of talent in these four games. And not really a complete dearth of talent, but maybe talent in the right matchup spot. If you're spending up big on a point guard, Lowry's going to be the guy, but I'm not sure that it's necessarily the right move for Thursday's games. Jeffy Teague at 6,400 has been fantastic lately. A 35-point average across his last three, dropped 39 in the last one. But Kyle Lowry and the Raptors are really good at shutting down point guards, so Teague is not someone that I'm keen on. And he's variable. His performance, you know, he can sit and play 24 minutes and Schroeder can go off. So that makes him a hard guy to look at in cash games. 3,900 for Corey Joseph. He's getting okay minutes. He's just not doing anything with them. And I say the opposite for Schroeder. He's not getting minutes, but he's playing okay in them. But if you know he gets 25 to 26 minutes, there's going to be a big night from Schroeder. So he is somewhat of a tournament option. Shooting guards. DeMar DeRozan at 8,000. You're pretty confident you're going to get 35 plus from DeRozan. His lowest score in his last five is 35. His highest score is 41. Yeah, at 8,000 on a night like this, you'd be okay, I reckon, just getting the 35 to 37 out of DeRozan and saying, yeah, I'm good with that. Kyle Korver is a tournament option at 3,900. No cash game reliability whatsoever. And I'll say the same with Terrence Ross at 3,900. Ross has actually had a higher score in the last five than what Korver has. You're paying the same to get them, but Korver he's more guaranteed with minutes. This is a game that Norman Powell will probably go back to the bench after starting last game in Dwayne Casey's rotational system, so any value that he might have at minimum salary is probably negated here. Small forwards, Kent Bazemore for the Hawks, 4,800 for Baze. He's been okay-ish. I think that 25 points is not a terrible target to look at here, and I think it is achievable, but I'm not very trusting of him. Now, Thabo's at minimum salary, and he's been playing all right as well, but just doesn't get it done, and James Johnson is not someone who I'm interested in, despite him getting back into the starting lineup. He can go big, he can go 45-50 big. It hasn't happened this year, and he looks like be a bit past it, but maybe at minimum salary, you get that, you win a tournament, I reckon. Power forwards. Luis Scola should be back, so we should have Jason Thompson back to the bench. We obviously need to wait and see what they're doing with their lineup, but I imagine Thompson goes back to a minimal role. Patrick Patterson plays 36 minutes. No, he doesn't. His price is 3,600. He might play 36 minutes. He is not worth looking at really for DFS. It is a real positive matchup for him though, but his averages are just bad. 14 points over the last five. It's not worth looking at. Scola, the same thing. Paul Millsap at 8,000. The Raptors are just all season consistently just really stopping power forwards. Yeah, guys like Patrick Patterson, Luis Scola have got these great rim protection numbers. I don't know how, but they have. Yeah, Bismack Biyombo's in there as well. Terrence Ross has got great rim protection numbers. The Raptors are very good at shutting down big men. So Millsap at 8,000, it feels just a tad expensive in this sort of matchup. At center, Jonas Valanciunas, the minutes are just too up in the air for me. He's at 6,000. He needs to be at closer to 5 for me to have any sort of reliability in using him. Bismack Biyombo's at 39, so if you're going cheap at centre, Biyombo does have some upside. He could, you know, block 5 or 6 shots and grab 10 rebounds, and that might be enough at 3,900. Not saying that I'm all that keen on it, but it is worth looking at. 7,200 for Al Horford. Really down performances lately. 25 average over his last 3. He's at less than 30 over his last 5. 7,200 against the Raptors. I'm okay with it. I don't think it's a terrible price to pay. He can get 35 points, but recent form hasn't been showing it. It really depends on how you sort of set up the rest of your lineup, though, with Al. The next game, the Chicago Bulls and the San Antonio Spurs. The Bulls are without Jim Butler because the Bulls' medical staff is not good at all. They really, really struggle. This whole Butler thing has been a massive pain in the ass from the time it started with the poor announcements from the team. He was never going to be back as soon as they said that he was going to be back. Well, they said he's questionable. Yeah, he's questionable. And then they bring him back with no minutes limit. Just so much doesn't make sense with the way they handle things. Anyway, Jim is out. Bob Portis is questionable. He's going to be a game time decision. He's dealing with that orbital contusion. Aaron Brooks will play. And the Spurs have got a few guys who are probable. Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker all probable. Duncan and Ginobili rested the last game, and Parker was dealing with that toe issue, so he should be back. Cam Bairstow for the Bulls is doubtful with a back problem. Tony Parker is at 4,700. He has been just putrid lately, averaging just 15 points over the last 5. But against the Bulls, against point guards, there is an opportunity for him here at that salary. He needs to get to 24 points, and he is at 5x value. That is not hard. He can do it. He can definitely do it. There is no cash game reliability, though. $7,000 for Derrick Rose, no Jimmy Butler. If he wasn't playing the Spurs, I'd be a lot keener on it. But he is, so I'm not. I'm not looking at him at 7,000. Patty Mills at 4,200, probably not either, despite the good matchup that he's got. Shooting guards. Danny Green at 4,200, had a decent game in the last one. He's a tournament option and never a cash game play. Manu at 42, he's going to struggle to get to 20 minutes most nights, so I don't think we want to use him. Etuan Moore is at 4,200. He will go back into a starter's role. He played 36 in the last game and dropped 28 points. At 4,200, I think that 25 points is a chance, even though it's against the Spurs, which will limit him, but I think the extra minutes pushes him into a spot where you want to look at playing him. Kevin Martin might play. He doesn't have any FanDuel pricing, though, so he's not an impact player there. Tony Snell, nah, don't think so. Small forwards, Mick Dunleavy, 3,900. Now, he is worth looking at if, again, he wasn't playing the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard wasn't on him. He dropped 25 in the last game. He's got a 20-point average over his last 5 at 3,900. That is okay, but you're talking about playing against Kawhi Leonard, and that could be a concern. Now, Kawhi at 8,700 against the Bulls, you're going to have to spend up for some position, and I think small forward's the one to do it at, whether it's Kawhi or whether it's LeBron, who we talk about later. Yeah, Kawhi here, I think that 40 points, he should be looking at 40. I think he only played 24 minutes or 25 minutes in the last game. I think he's back to 35 around that mark here, and I think he should be in a pretty decent spot to put up some decent minutes and some decent production. Nikola Mirotic is at 4,800. I don't want to get too excited and get back on the Mirotic hype train too much, but he put up 29 points in the last game in 20 minutes. He's priced less than 5,000. Can he get to 25 fantasy points? It is strictly a tournament play only, but we know that he can, if he somehow gets 27 minutes, 35-40 fantasy points is a massive opportunity for Mirotic. And if Bobby Portis is out, that's extra run at the 4 as well. He's just someone to look at. Dougie McDermott's minutes came way down in the last game, down to 13 with Mike Dunleavy ramping up, so his value at 3,600 is done. And Kyle Anderson at 3,600, he's always someone we want to look at when someone is out on the wing, but if Green and Kawhi are both playing, then Kyle Anderson's value is not huge. Taj Gibson's at 5,200. He played 37 minutes in the last game, put up 33 points. 5,200 is not a big salary. Can he get to 25? I think this is not a bad spot to use him, but I really love LaMarcus Aldridge. He's at 7,900. The Bulls' front court is terrible for defensively. Aldridge is already averaging 44 across his last 5. This feels like another 40-plus game for LaMarcus. David West, if Tim Duncan is out, then you look at him. Same with Boris Diaw, but you'd imagine that Duncan will be back after resting the game in Minnesota. At centre, Timmy Duncan himself, 5,300. Does the Bulls bump push him into value? I reckon that Tim Duncan is a real sneaky tournament play. He dropped 35 in the last game that he played. He's already averaging 26 across his last five. He could get a 27, 28 point game here. On the other side, Pau Gasol, 9,500, just dominating at the moment. Without Jimmy Butler around, he had 63 points in the last game. 45 points should be what you're aiming for with Pau. The Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets are favored by 7.5. The total is 214. Point guards. Emmanuel Mudiay. It's a great matchup against the Suns. The Suns are bad against point guards. Mudiay was a little bit quiet in the last game, but even when he was quiet, he put up 30 fantasy points, which is 5x at 6,000. He's averaging 35 across his last five. I think that Mudiay should be locked into pretty much all lineups. Ron Price at 3,900. If I knew that Brandon Knight wasn't going to play, then I'd lock Price in as well. But I think that this is the game that Knight actually plays. I'm not using Knight, but I'm also not using Price. DJ Augustine at 4,000. He's got a nice matchup here. He's a decent tournament option to play as well. Shooting guards. My boy, Gaz Harris. He's definitely worth a look. At 5,100, he's just a consistent guy. He's averaging 30 across the last three. At 5,100, you can't turn that down. Will Barton at 5,700 just hasn't been good, averaging just 22 across his last five. This matchup is beautiful for him. Definitely not cash gaming it, but in a tournament, Will Barton is worth a look, but I would much rather spend 600 less and get Gaz Harris. Devin Booker at 5,700, he's the same price as Will Barton. I would much rather Devin Booker at that salary than take Barton. So there's a lot of shooting guard value here. Barton's the worst of them, in my opinion. Although his projection does look really good, he's just in a real cold slump at the moment. Or some would say that this is who he actually is. And by some, I mean me. Small forwards, PJ Tucker, 4,600. He just hit no. Jakar Sampson, 3,500, also no. And Chase Budinger, 3,500. What a miserable group of small forwards. Power forwards. Ken Fareed is at 6,800. He has been blowing up lately, averaging 41 points across his last three, 35 across his last five. As long as we hear no word of a back issue in a matchup like this against Phoenix, Ken Fareed, 35 plus, should be what we're looking at. Mirza Teletovic has been letting us down. He is a nice option against this front court, though, in terms of his shooting ability in a tournament. I'd look at him, and that's about it. And Darrell Arthur, whose minutes have been up there, but his production's been down, he will have a big game at some point. At 3,500 in one of your multiple tournament lineups, Arthur is worth looking at. Centers, Alex Len, just bang him in. He's at 6,600. You're limited today, but still put up 28 points. He's averaging 43 across the last three, including this, including that sort of performance. And on the other side of things, Nikola Jokic at 6,100. Yes, there is a risk associated with him, but he is averaging 37 across his last three games. He's averaging 29 minutes in those three games. He's averaging 27 across his last five in minutes, 32 points. At 6,100, Nikola Jokic is worth a look. Both of Jokic and Len, probably two of the best center plays on the board. 4,400 for Tyson Chandler. If Len gets into some sort of early foul trouble and have to run with Chandler more, at 4,400, he's not a bad guy to look at, but it's obviously strictly a tournament option. You're hoping that something happens to Len in that sense, in terms of not injury-wise, but foul-wise. The Cavs in Los Angeles to take on the Lakers. Tim Mozgov is questionable with his illness, and for the Lakers, Lou Williams is doubtful, and Kobe is questionable as well. Now, Kobe loves playing in these games. He's playing against LeBron. You would imagine that Kobe is going to play here. 3,700 for Marcelo Huertas. With Lou Williams out, Huertas has played some extra minutes. Very hard in a cash game, but he's getting a stack of assists, and all he needs is 19 points. If he gets 19 points, it's 5x value. Kyrie, on the other hand, I love. Well, not even on the other hand, because I like Huertas as well, but I love Kyrie at 7,200. He's averaging 36 across his last five games. He's just been consistently in that range at 7,200. I feel that 35 points is exactly where you want Kyrie. D'Angelo Russell at 7,000. Fine with using him at that price as well. Now, the salary's jumped quite a bit for Russell. If I'm using him or Kyrie, who do I prefer? I'd spend the extra 200 and get Kyrie. He's obviously a more seasoned performer, but Russell now has the benefit of playing against Kyrie Irving. With Kobe back, most likely like into playing this one, maybe that drops Russell's usage down slightly. Shooting guards. J.R. Smith at 4,500. It's going to happen. He's going to blow up one of these games. This could be it, but only for tournaments. Jordy Clarkson's at 6,100. If Kobe plays, then no. If Kobe's out, then 6,100 for Clarkson is worth a look. Iman Shumpert, Nick Young, none of these guys are worth looking at. And Kobe, the minutes restriction's not going to allow him to have any value. Small forward, LeBron, 10,100. The only concern you have is if the game's a blowout, does he limit his minutes? Yeah, 50 points is easily within reach for LeBron here, so he is a fine guy to spend up on. And the rest of the small forwards is a very motley crew. Meta World Peace, Ryan Kelly, and Dick Jefferson. Power forwards. Kevin Love at 6,800. I feel like I'm going to get sucked in from Kevin Love at 6,800. That is not it's not a big salary. He dropped 36 points today. It's the Lakers. He's home in LA. Could he have a big game? I think that Kevin Love has got a real opportunity for a decent game here. Brandon Bassett, 3,900. He's a really good tournament option at that low salary. And if Tim Mozgov's out, Tristan Thompson at 4,600 feels like a great play. He's already averaging 26 points across his last five, including his 36 today. It's the Lakers. It's a bump with big men. And if he has to play 37 minutes, he's going to produce. Julius Randle at 6,400. I would really like that if he wasn't playing the Cavs, who do limit power forwards pretty significantly. He's averaging 35 across his last three, which is great production, but I'm just a little bit concerned in this matchup against the Cavs. Larry Nance not doing enough. Centers. Do I have to? Tim Mozgov, Roy Hibbert, Tariq Black, Robert Sacre, Sasha Kohn. Nah, let's just go straight into the DFS picks of the day. At point guard, Marcelo Huertas, 37. Emmanuel Mudiay, 6,000, and Kyle Lowry, 89. Shooting guards, Itwan Moore, 42, Gaz Harris, 51, and DeMar DeRozan, 8,000. Small forwards, 4,800. No one in that middle tier that really appeals to me at all, and Kawhi Leonard at 8,700. You could easily have LeBron there as well. Power forwards, Tristan Thompson, 46, Ken Fareed, 68, and LaMarcus Aldridge, 79, and the centers. No one in the cheap center range really appeals to me. Big Lexi Len at 6,600. And Pau Gasol at 9,500 rounds out the DFS picks of the day. Make sure you are following me on Twitter, redrock_bball, and the same with Instagram, redrock_bball, and Facebook, which is facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Of course, Basketball Monster provides brilliant tools for your seasonal and DFS leagues, so make sure you're checking out Basketball Monster and Hardwood Paroxysm for all your entertaining NBA reads, and the Hardwood Paroxysm Network of sites and podcasts is great as well. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, moneyball.com.au and properbet at facebook.com/properbet, and give Adam all your support over there. So go across and just like the Facebook page and see if he can perhaps win you some player prop money as well. So go and have a look what Adam's got to offer over on properbet. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.